pray. Come, Holy Spirit, take these words and speak to us through them, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated. This is the last and next to the last in a sermon, a series of sermons I'm preaching on the marks of a Spirit-filled church. And I suggested in this series that in order for the church to be effective, in order for the church to do what it's designed to do, it must be filled with the Spirit. And that individuals within the church must be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to fully and effectively not only minister in the way Christ wants them to minister, but also to live the sort of life that God wants us to minister. I talked in the first week about how the early church had a sense of power about it. It had the power to heal, the power to transform, and the power to motivate. And I talked about how in the second week, the church had the desire and the motivation to live a pure life, to seek to follow the commandments of God, and to call each of the members of the church to seek to live with a sense of purity about them. And I suggested how the church today is also called to do that. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have any chance of living a more pure life in our lives. And then last week I talked about the church that was a church of passion. And a passion to tell others the gospel of Christ. Had a passion to start new churches. And I suggested how we perhaps might be used by God in the future to start a new church in North Fort Worth. Or we might be called by God to start new churches within our church by forming small groups that could be like mini churches within the church. And so I also talked about the church had a passion for the lost. That they really cared about people who did not know Christ and did all that they could to seek to introduce them to Christ. And so, if we are to be a Spirit-filled church, a church that is filled with the Spirit, both we as a church and we as individuals should seek to be filled so that we might have this power, so that we might have this purity, so that we might have this passion ourselves. So today I want to talk about the fourth mark of a Spirit-filled church. And in doing so, I want to really talk about something that we have within us as individual Christians. And that mark of the church is peace. We are at peace with God, first of all, through our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we come to know Christ, we are no longer at enmity with God. We're no longer striving and struggling against God. We're no longer fighting against the ways of God. We're not swimming upstream against what God wants to do. And so when we come to Christ, we have a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So St. Paul said this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." He says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity," that is the enmity that we have with God, "even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of the two one man, so making peace." So God has made it possible for us to have peace with him through Jesus Christ. So that when we come to believe in Christ and we invite him into our lives, when we have a relationship with Christ, we are at peace with God. Many people describe when they come to that peace with God of having a great weight lifted from them, of having a sort of freedom that they never had before. And so that's what God offers to us when we come to put our faith in Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, he brings peace. He brings peace to us as individuals, and he brings peace to us as a church. The first mark of a church that is filled with the Spirit is that we have peace with God. The second mark of a Spirit-filled church is that its members are at peace with each other. Its members are at peace with each other. Unity among believers is really one of the key themes in the New Testament. We see, for example, Paul saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink." And so when we come to believe in Christ, he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside of us, And we are all given of that one Spirit to drink. We were made one in Christ. In John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples, praying that they would be unified, that they would be one. And he prays that they would be one just as he and the Father are one. Listen to his prayer as he offered it to the Father. He prayed that they will all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so also that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So it is the will of God that the church be united, that we be one in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the vehicle through which that unity is provided. Time and time again throughout the New Testament, we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit seeking to bring unity into the church. It's the will of God that we be unified as Christians in the body of Christ. Do we experience that unity today? Are we being unified with congregations with whom are we at odds with them? I had the opportunity yesterday to go to what was called a solemn assembly, in which we gathered together with other Christians from other churches, other denominations, and we didn't talk about our differences. We didn't talk about that which we disagree about. Instead, we got together. We prayed for our several churches. We prayed for our individual needs that we might have had and that we knew about in the body of Christ. And we just prayed that God would manifest his presence and would do what his Spirit wants to do in the various churches in our area here. And so that really, we were reflecting really that unity that God calls us to. But so often in Christendom, we've declared open season on one another due to the differences in theological opinions. I know people who think that Jesus was an Anglican and everybody should get on board with that idea. So it's important for us to recognize that we as Christians are called to be united with one another. We're called to be at peace with one another. In fact, we're called to get past our minor differences and to realize that those who hold to the true gospel, the gospel that is clearly proclaimed in Scripture, are that which unites us. In heaven, there are not going to be any Baptists or any Methodists or any Lutherans or any Orthodox or any Catholics or any even any Anglicans. We're all going to be just worshipers of God. That's who we're called to be. And certainly, we will never be appealing to a world of people that are tired of division and battling in life. If we're no different than the world around us, then we have nothing to offer. Now, at the same time, I have to add that we are not called to be unified with others who may name the name of Christ, but who really believe in what Paul calls a different Jesus and a different gospel. There are those who say that they're Christians, but if you talk to them about the Jesus they believe in, it's a completely different Jesus than you find in the Scriptures. If you talk about the gospel that they believe in, that gospel is a much different gospel than that which is proclaimed in the Scriptures. So we're not called to be unified with those who are really not a part of the body of Christ. We're really called to be unified with those who believe in the true gospel, even though we may worship in different ways, even though we may have different ways of doing church services and that sort of thing. We're called to be unified with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy to talk about getting along with different denominations, but what about the divisions within our own denomination? In our own denomination, sometimes there are churches, in Anglican churches in the same city, that really are in competition with each other. We're seeking to be in competition with churches that are next door to us or that are around us in some way. And that's really not what God calls us to do. We're not to be in competition with each other. Friends, let me assure you, the sinner pool is not drying up. Okay? There are plenty of sinners to go around for everybody. We don't need to be in competition with everybody. We need to work with one another and realize that we are united in Christ for the world that is dying because of their sin. When we begin to compete with other churches, we really shortchange ourselves and we really are striving out of impure motives. The world outside sees the church like this and wants nothing to do with the church that feels that it's in constant competition with other believers and other congregations around it. Let me be even more personal now. What about the disunity and competition within one church? A family or person A feels like they must compete against or show off in front of or do better than family or person B. Family 1 fights for control of the church against family 2. This is happening all over the country, even as I speak this morning. We have nothing to offer our world if we cannot offer them a sanctity of unity in the body of Christ. The third mark of a Spirit-filled church of peace is a church that really is at peace with the world. Now, when I say that, I mean that we're not to be like the world. We're not to embrace the ways of the world. We're not to try to live like the world. We're called to live a different sort of life as Christians. And yet, at the same time, we are not to be adversarial with the world. In 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul lists the requirements of spiritual leadership, and he indicates that spiritual leaders should have a good reputation among non-believers, and that they should live lives that make the gospel attractive to the lost. When an evangelist seeks donations so that he can purchase a new jet, the world looks at that and wonders, is that what the gospel is all about? We should be at peace with the world while not espousing its views. That doesn't mean that we cannot share our views with others who may disagree with us. But do we share our views with a sense of being respectful and humble? Do we share our views in a passionate way and yet in a respectful way? Do we share our views as our opinions without attacking the other person personally or by calling them names or with a judgmental attitude? When the Holy Spirit comes, He brings peace. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, the church was united in one accord. That is, they had a common goal and a common interest and a common heart. Do we have that unity in the church today? A Spirit-filled church is a church of peace and unity. Would you pray that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit as individuals? Would you pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit? Would you pray that our church would be filled with the Holy Spirit? And would you pray that we would be a church of peace? Would you pray for other churches and other denominations that they would be churches of peace as well? Would you pray that we would be at peace with one another, as Jesus said that we would be peacemakers? There may be someone here today who is not at peace with God. Maybe you say, I just don't have that relationship with God. I just don't feel at peace with God. You can have that peace today by really acknowledging that you need a Savior, acknowledging that you have sinned and confess those sins to God, and then turn away from those sins and invite Christ to come into your life. And when He does, He will send His Holy Spirit of peace to live inside of you. And you can begin that process of becoming really a person of peace, not only within the church, but then helping the church at large to reflect that peace of Christ that He wants us to model in this world. Would you pray that God would fill us all with the Holy Spirit? Let us pray. Lord, I ask, as I've mentioned in that prayer, that You would indeed fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Fill us in such a way that we would know that You have indwelt us with that Spirit of peace, that You have filled us with that Spirit that would give us the power that we need to be Your ministers in this world, that we would have that purity of life that would reflect Your holiness and Your righteousness, that we would have that passion for the gospel that would cause us to care for those that are lost, those that don't know You. And ultimately, Lord, would You allow us to reflect that peace that passes all understanding that You promised to give all of those who put their trust in You. I ask this in Your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.